Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is a Motown-esque Thursday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner. That's how you reach him via Twitter, is at Brad Kellner. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse, and Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. There is a lot going on the 40 acres these days. Sark Week right here on 104.9 The Horn, welcoming Steve Sarkisian, the new head football coach on the 40 acres, and a lot of excitement about assembling his coaching staff. As it stands, gentlemen, based on the reports, a lot of great reports from my friends at Horns 247. Got to give them some props. Got to give Bobby Burton some props over at Inside Texas. They're doing a really good job, too. Kyle Flood has been reported that he is going to join Texas and become the O-line coach slash either OC or co-OC. Don't know how he's going to be listed, but you probably got to give him the OC title just to pull him away from Bama. That's usually how contract stipulations work. You got to take, if you want to leave someplace, usually in the contract it says you got to leave for an advancement, a promotion of some kind, and that's all about the title. Also, state institutions like Texas, that is how you justify paying someone some, you know, whatever money you're going to pay them by giving them as many titles as possible, assistant head coach, whatever. So Kyle Flood, offensive line coach and offensive coordinator of some kind, maybe co-OC. Jeff Banks has reported even his contract details are out there now. I saw that from Horns 247. He's going to be making $1 million a year, 3 years, $3.15 million total over that time period. He was making $750,000 at Bama, so Texas flexed a little bit there and got their man Jeff Banks, tight ends coach and special teams coordinator for the Longhorns. He was the same. That was the same title he had at Bama, same title he had when he was at Texas A&M. He's got Texas ties. That is really important. You talked about that a lot, BK. Also, he was at UTEP for a stretch, so he's got deep Texas ties. A.J. Milwey slated to become the quarterback's coach. He was the offensive analyst and assistant at Alabama, and at one point when Sark took over the head coaching duties, was the interim head coach. I believe that was that the Auburn game? He was the interim head coach?
Yes.
It was A.J. Milwey that was his interim offensive coordinator. So that's how much he trusts A.J. Mill. He's a big fan of A.J. Mill. Pete Golding, right now, Horns 247 is reporting. And by the way, that with the offensive staff, so we'll just finish the offensive staff. We do know that Stan Drayton was being retained and Andre Coleman, based on reports, are being retained. So that's your offensive staff, Jim. We know that Sark's going to call the plays. Kyle Flood, O-line. Jeff Banks, tight ends. A.J. Milwey, quarterbacks. Stan Drayton's going to be running backs, Andre Coleman, wide receivers, and there you go. The reports are that Pete Golden and Zach Arnett are also the top candidates to get the defensive coordinator position on Steve Sarkisian's staff. But Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams-size, but thrown in there is that Chris Ash has not been interviewed yet. My man Chip Brown threw that out there, and that Steve Sarkisian does want to interview Chris Ash, who is also being rumored, or at least reported, to be one of the candidates to be an addition or an upgrade for Dan Mullen's staff in Florida. But also, since Urban Meyer has the coaching job, or the head coaching job now with Jacksonville, that he is a big fan of Chris Ash, and he may try to bring Chris Ash to his staff in the NFL as a position coach. Those are the three names that have been circulated for the defensive coordinator position. But on the D-line, still looks like Bo Davis is the top name, but we have not gotten confirmation from either side with the Bo Davis hire. But there's also, of course, the Blake Gideon hire. We know that that's a done deal. And also the Terry Joseph hire is a done deal. Terry Joseph looks like he's going to coach the corners. Looks like Blake Gideon's going to coach the safeties. And I'm not sure what they're doing with linebackers yet, guys. They haven't talked about that. There's even some talk, KD, that they could go Oscar Giles or Tosh Lupoy for linebackers, but hasn't been I haven't heard a lot of reports about exactly who the top candidates are for that position.
Yeah, and so could they go, we've talked about it, could you go defensive tackles, Bo Davis, defensive ends, Oscar Giles? Lots of coaches do that. Hell, I mean, with Andre Coleman, we talked about it earlier, lots of coaches, including Lincoln Riley with Cale Gundy and also Dennis Simmons, I believe, does outside receivers and inside receivers. So you can do that. I'd prefer probably for a receiver to have one. But the Giles thing is interesting because I've always gotten mixed mixed opinions when I talk to people that really, really are within the program with Giles that, yeah, he deserves a lot of credit. We've talked about it. If you look at the resume on the surface, the recruits that they've gotten, mm-hmm. and then also, BK, what they've been able to do, he'd be someone you want to keep. That'll be up to Sark, but I think no doubt the biggest question is who's the DC and is everything kind of already put together defensively when they get that guy?
Yeah, and another report, I just saw this from Jeff Ketchum of Orange Blood, so I'll give him some love. Apparently, Zach Arnett, one of the names that you mentioned, Rod B., he had a Zoom interview with Steve Sarkisian in the University of Texas this afternoon. So that apparently just went down. So Zach Arnett still very much on the table. He is currently the Mississippi State defensive coordinator. He interviewed for LSU's D.C. vacancy earlier this week. Apparently that thing did not work out, so he's not going to take the job with the Tigers. So he still is an option for Texas. Oregon needs a defensive coordinator. They are also reportedly interested in Zach Arnett. I'm not sure if that expedites the timetable for Texas a little bit, the fact that other schools might be interested as well. But Zach Arnett, Rod, he must be very much on the table if he's getting an interview, right? That guy still has to be in the mix.
Yeah, he's got to be in the mix. And it's interesting, we talked about Steve Sarkisian's style. How much is he going to prioritize asserting the style? He's talked about he wants an attacking, aggressive defense. And we know Chris Ash's style is more, you know, it's more about fundamental football. It's more about, you know, guys just having great technique. It's not really an attacking, aggressive style. I do think it's a fundamentally sound defense. I think it was a really, really sound defense with Texas. And I do think at times it can be aggressive, but I don't think that's the natural state of Chris Ash's defense. I think his philosophy is more bend but don't break, and it seems like Steve Sarkisian wants a defense that's going to force another team to break. He wants an attacking, aggressive, abrasive defense, and I don't know if Chris Ash fits that, but we'll see. Maybe, you know, they can morph philosophies here, but I think he's leaning toward a Zach Arnett and maybe leaning toward a Pete Golden, mm-hmm. somebody who would be a little bit more fit his style and be more compatible with his philosophy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if I had to guess, and just based off some of the stuff that I'm hearing and some of the stuff that I'm reading, I think Pete Golding is probably the top candidate right now.
Okay.
Because Sark's got the familiarity with him, right? Both of those guys have been at Alabama the last couple of years. Now, one of the holdups, and I'll give Chip Brown some credit for this, one of the potential holdups with hiring Pete Golding away from Nick Saban is pissing Nick Saban off to the point of no return. And there's a thought that
it's going to be like Herman and Urban right away.
Exactly. And, of course, Texas plays Alabama a couple of times starting in 2022. And, look, Nick Saban kind of vouched for Steve Sarkisian to take this Texas job as well. So, you know, I don't think Sark wants to completely ruin that relationship. He's already poached a couple of members away from his coaching staff, and Alabama fans are not happy about that. So I assume Nick Saban is not too happy about that as well. There might be the little snag, KD, of, all right, Texas isn't going to take Pete Golding away from Bama unless Nick Saban has a really good defensive coordinator that he knows that he's going to be able to bring in to replace Pete Golding. Sounds kind of weird, and if you're a Texas fan, you're like, who the hell cares? Why does that affect us at all? Whoa. But sometimes that stuff does happen in this profession.
Yeah, it's like we're still clinging to Herman's an Urban guy. It's one of the three best programs. He got inside and got all the secret recipes. Oh, he's not talking to you anymore? Okay, that's kind of weird. But with Golding, Golding's resume surprised me. And I knew he had come from UTSA because I remember he was a real hot name, like Todd Orlando, like a lot of coaches. They get real hot, and it may work out at your school, it may not. But he was there for 2 years. Southern Miss DB coach, Southeastern Louisiana, Delta State. Now, Delta State.
Oh, Tri-Delt?
No, yeah. Well, we all have.
Ooh.
Delta State, though.
Well done.
Yeah, their defense in 2010, I'm sure it was good, but I don't really know as much as I'd like to about Golden. And all I know is he's had tons of talent at Alabama, and relatively speaking, they haven't had their best defenses there under Saban. So I don't know if Saban would really miss him or not. It kind of, Rod, it gets back to what I said earlier, when you can really, you almost need a camera in the coach's office to find out Saban's reaction to know whether you had the home run hire or not.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he's going to miss Pete Golding that much. From everything that I've heard and research, he could easily upgrade over Pete Golding. Not that Pete Golding's not a good coach, but
right.
For Nick Saban,
he could
who's the GOAT. he can go out and find an upgrade, especially with guys getting fired in the NFL and everybody looking at him as, you know, the coaching car wash project he's got going on with the reclamation project you brought up, BK. He can get guys from the NFL to come there and basically join the Nick Saban coaching tree, upgrade at defensive coordinator. I think Jeff Banks is probably the coup that hurts the most for Nick Saban. He was a hell of a recruiter, also the special teams coordinator for them, and I think that's a guy that Nick Saban himself had groomed and had brought to Alabama. Kyle Flood hurts because Kyle Flood's really good at his job and helped coordinate one of the best offenses in college football history. But Kyle Flood came with Sark. I think that was an expectation from Nick Saban that he was going to leave with Sark because he came in with Sark. And he already is. Jeff Stoutland, I believe is the name of the Eagles offensive line coach, or former Eagles offensive line coach, who was once with Nick Saban in 2011 and 12. And from the reports, he's already been wooed by Saban to come back there. So I think that's going to happen. And there are reports, guys, that to replace Jeff Banks, he's gonna bring in potentially the Sumlin, the old A&M
Kevin
coach,
Sumlin? Once,
yeah, that was at Arizona.
Archie Sumlin?
That Sumlin was a special teams coach and tight ends coach when he was at Oklahoma.
Wow.
And
the dynasty is over, baby. I've never felt better about Alabama's reign coming to an end than I do right now.
Well, they needed
a new
Bagman.
And remember, he was born in the state of Alabama. Now, listen, I'm not saying Sumlin's a great head coach, but now you're asking him not even to be a coordinator, guys. You're asking him to just be a position coach and a special teams guy. So I think, yeah, Sumlin probably can be really good there, just like Bill O'Brien probably can be really good as a coordinator when you're not asking him to be a head coach or asking him to be a GM at the same time. So what some people may laugh and scoff at these reclamation projects at first when he brings them in, like the Charlie Strongs, even Steve Sarkisian, some people scoffed at that one too, and now look at him. Because this is what Saban does. Saban not only can wash these coaches clean, but he can make them the best versions of themselves. So I think actually he's going to be okay. He's going to miss Jeff Banks, but having something come in, a guy like that who's been to the highest levels of college football, essentially, to come in and coach at tight end and special teams, that's his original background. That's not a bad trade.
No. No, and you know, Rod, you scratched the surface of it earlier, and I've talked about it a bunch since I've been back on the radio, that it's so easy we get too high on some of these guys and too low on them too quickly. You know, getting back to your revisionist history you talked about earlier, let's not forget, because I remember on all the websites and all the insiders were talking about just how great of a pro coach Kevin Sumlin was going to be. Remember the year after Johnny left, and it's on ESPN, and they go to South Carolina, And what's his nuts? The old pitcher's kid. Hill.
Kenny Hill.
Kenny Thrill. Yeah. Lighting him up. And I mean, every article for the next couple of weeks was how the NFL BK wanted this guy. This guy's an offensive genius. He clearly wasn't that. He's probably not the hobo that a lot of college football fans make about to be right now either.
Dude, you can't be a hobo if you have a swag copter, bro.
That is true.
That's not how it works. And to your point, Rod B, I mean, Nick Saban could hire my 15-year-old sister, and I'd think it's a great move. I'd be like, what the hell is going on? Like, she don't know a damn thing about football. Oh, Nick Saban hired her? Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to work. Yeah, so if he's able to get, you know, former NFL head coaches and former college coaches to coordinate and be position coaches – like it's always going to work at Alabama. As long as that dude's trolling the sidelines, they're going to be fine, unfortunately, for everybody else.
Bagman.
That too. That helps.
No, I totally agree with that. All right, so I think that's all the bases that we've had to cover with the coach staff. Did we miss anything as it relates to the Steve Sarkisian coach staff, guys?
You mentioned linebacker. I'm curious if Hutzler's going to get a real look at that. And I do think Sark probably, all the connections he has, he probably knows Will Muschamp. And Muschamp, I know, is a big fan of Coleman Hutzler. And we saw that Muschamp was obviously a big fan of Blake Gideon, who's on the staff.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. Good point. And, Rod, these guys are going to be paid handsomely, but if you're looking for a great deal, you don't need to be making the type of money these coaches are making to go to Diamonds Direct, do you?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I'm a ball on a budget. Diamonds Direct helped me find the perfect ring for the perfect girl, but more importantly, for the perfect price. And they can help you do the same thing. 2021 is here, and we all know 2020 was a year we like to forget. But you want to start 2021 the right way by showing the people in our lives who we care about the most how much we care. And the perfect way to do that is to show her with a diamond. I know you think to yourself, man, a diamond? Can I afford that? Yes, you can afford it at Diamonds Direct. Of course you can. my friends at Diamonds Direct. They have a nationwide price protection guarantee and a free warranty for life with any purchase. And I know that because I'm a true believer. Like I said, when I was looking for an engagement ring for my girlfriend at the time, who is now my fiance, my friends at Diamonds Direct came to the rescue. So whether it's a modest 1-carat diamond or whether it's an extravagant 10-carat diamond, whatever your price range is, my friends at Diamonds Direct, they can help you find the perfect gift for the perfect occasion. For all of your jewelry needs, maybe it's an engagement, maybe it's an anniversary, maybe it's a birthday, maybe you just want to do it for the hell of it. Maybe you want to show her how special she is. You can do that with Diamonds Direct. Now, I'd recommend go to DiamondsDirect.com. You can check out their extensive inventory. You can make an online appointment. You also can have an online consultation, but I also recommend you go there and check it out for yourself. Go there and experience the Diamonds Direct difference for yourself. All of the their fantastic showcases are sanitized for your protection, but make sure, folks, when you go there, let them know your price range. Let them know exactly what you can spend, and they'll help you find the absolute perfect gift because they have the best selection and the best prices. They cut out the middleman, so they offer low prices that nobody else can. That's DiamondsDirect.com. Go there and visit yourself at Diamonds Direct, right there in the domain next to Dick's Sporting Goods.
Well, back on the same conversation we were having earlier about not overreacting one way or the other with coaching hires or just individual coaches, I think we all agree that Tom Herman, this program is better off than where it was when he took over, right?
No question.
And there are some things with the infrastructure and some things that he built that you should be able to pick up on. Not that you're not going to change some things or maybe try and be more aggressive with it, whatever that is, but it's already built in place or already is some infrastructure. And we're getting, we got a tweet here from Cody saying, guys, any word on Brian Carrington? BK, that's a name we've mentioned. I know Texas fans that's part of the infrastructure they feel like doesn't need to be torn down as we redo this kitchen.
Yeah, understandably so. I mean, Brian Carrington has done a lot here at UT. He's been a recruiting ace since he got here, pretty much, and you would love to have him stick around. You know, I need to do a little bit more digging on that. Usually the support staff guys / the recruiting coordinator guys are the last to find out about whether or not they are going to be retained whenever there's a head coaching change. So it makes sense that we're hearing more about offensive and defensive coordinators and all the position coaches before hearing a lot about Brian Carrington. I am fascinated, though, Rod. I mean, you talk to a lot of the current players, a lot of the former players, right? Guys who were partially recruited by Brian Carrington. Those dudes speak the world of BC. So it seems like from the outsider's perspective, it'd be great if Sark was able to keep Brian Carrington here in Austin.
I advocate for that. I'm on board with that. I think it'd be a smart move to keep Brian Carrington. As I've said before, you know, there are a lot of guys who, you know, support staff who help in recruiting. But with Brian Carrington, he's able to go places that other guys cannot. I won't even dive deep into it, but he's able to get in some social circles that others can't. And that's a testament to how much he values relationships. I'm with you. I've heard from, parents of recruits who love, and I think even more so than the recruits who love, because you're right, BK, the parents The parents love this guy, because I've talked to more parents that bring up Brian Carrington. Obviously, I'm older now, so I don't hang around kids as much as I used to. But the parents, they speak glowingly about him. And trust me, if you get mama in your corner, that's pretty much half the damn battle. I mean, Drank my mama's sweet tea and sat on the couch and told her, oh, your son will graduate from Texas. I don't care if he ever plays in the league, but he will graduate from Texas. That's all that mattered to my mama. He understood that that's what she wanted to hear. So I think you got to try to keep Brian Carrington. I have heard just through the grapevine that he probably wants some more money. He probably wants an upgrade in a contract, right? Mm. And I've also heard that he is coveted by other universities and other programs because he's a hell of a recruiter and because he has a reputation now as a recruiting ace. So if he is not offered, you know, what he thinks is a respectable contract, even if they do try to keep him, he still may go elsewhere. I think you should just offer him what he wants, pay him the big money. You guys know they got blank checks over there, because I think Brian Carrington can help you win championships. I do.
We just paid $1 million to have a guy coach an area that is being taken out of the sport in special teams. Obviously, he does other things, but I think we can write that check.
Yeah, I don't think the finances should be an issue.
I wasn't a shot at Banks, but kind of a, you know, little special teams joke.
And there. Tight ends. Hell, yeah. Tight ends, too. That's also kind of going away. Unless you play at Iowa State. Yeah. All right, there's some Texas football conversation for y'all. The latest and greatest on the coaching staff rumors. If anything drops before we get out of here at 7, obviously we will let you know. Well, we have the BK Lounge coming up here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Hey, Alexa, save my life.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here.
All the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it.
It's 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes.
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. January 14th, 2021 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I'm BK Brad Kellner. And this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. All right, fellas, the tease for today's BK Lounge was, hey, Alexa, save my life. Before we get into this story, I've got to ask y'all, do you guys own one of them Alexas?
No, I do not. I don't need one. I either write stuff down or I put it in my phone or I remember it. And I'm sure there...
Oh, look at you with the brain.
Yeah.
Got the big brain on KD.
Yeah, well, we've talked about it. Once you stop, you know, having to use your memory, then it's easy to lose it, which is why no one remembers stuff anymore, because we used to have to remember phone numbers and all types of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I've had people that have told me, because I'll kind of make fun of it a little bit, and they'll say, you know what, there's actually a lot of different things. It's not just your grocery list.
Yeah, we have one, but we don't use it anymore. It's kind of janky sometimes, actually. It's annoying.
What is that word?
Janky. It means it doesn't always work well, right?
Yeah. You don't know janky? You never heard janky?
Yeah, what country are you from,
boomer?
Man?
Oh, I'm getting called a boomer here?
Yeah.
No, I think that's a boomer word you guys are using.
It
ain't nobody my
word.
Age is saying janky.
Well, the other thing, too, is that the more I read about this, I'm worried about all the eyes that are already in my place.
We're screwed. If you have a smartphone, you're screwed already.
My computer's got the whole thing set up, so they're listening and watching.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm always nice, right? I always thank Siri. I always thank my Alexas. Like, I show them love and respect because, as I've said multiple times on this program before, in the impending war of man versus machine, I'm on the machine side.
I know you are.
You guys are done because y'all have no chance. Team machine.
So you have an Alexa.
I have two Alexas.
You talk
and
your...
What?
And I use... Yeah,
why do you need two?
It's like a 700 square foot apartment that I have. Well, I've got one in my bedroom and one in my living room, and I've got it pretty souped up. Not as souped up as a lot of people out there, but I've got it controlling lights and stuff like that, too.
Wow.
Just say, hey, Alexa, turn on the light. I've got like different color light bulbs. So, hey, Alexa, turn the light to blue, you know, sets the mood a little bit. Hey, Alexa, dim the light. So I've got like stuff, other smart devices.
Are you having a mushroom party over there?
Well, sometimes.
Okay, all right.
Sometimes. Well, yeah.
Invite me, damn
on
it.
Any day that ends in Y, usually. just those days, though. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the Alexas, and I feel like a lot of people have either one of those or a Google smart speaker. Just smart speaker technology has become relatively prominent in this day and age. And this story, guys, comes from the ex-mother country, Great Britain. I think it's pretty average. But a British bodybuilder says he owes his life to his Alexa after he fell down his stairs and crushed his legs when he got up at night to walk his dog. That's right. Dante McNulty, 40 years young, of Fordham, Cambridgeshire. I feel like you have to say it
you
like
do.
That, right?
Cambridgeshire. 40? What happened here?
He's 40. Yeah, he slipped down the curved staircase, quote, like an avalanche, and passed out in a kneeling position for 6 hours. The veins in this guy's legs burst due to the enormous pressure, which blocked the blood flow and caused a life-threatening condition to him. So he literally fell down the stairs. He's a bodybuilder. This guy's in great shape, but it's the middle of the night. It's dark. He's going downstairs to walk his dog. I guess he takes the wrong step. He falls down the stairs, and he goes unconscious for 6 hours.
Is he in that great of a shape? I mean, come on.
You don't know. He's a bodybuilder. I mean,
he fell on his own legs and that's what crushed it?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, I guess so. He's 230 pounds, so relatively big dude, I guess.
Wow.
I don't think there's no memes comparing this guy to Mark Henry or anything.
It's a good thing
I
wasn't at the emergency room. I'd be questioning this guy. What really happened here?
Yeah. But after regaining consciousness, this guy said he couldn't feel his legs and he was only able to shout to the Amazon device to call for a friend who alerted rescuers.
Wow.
That's right. So he gets up around midnight to let his 5-year-old Dalmatian, this guy's got a Dalmatian, says, quote, "The top of my stairs curve. I think I stood on the thinner part of the step by accident. My heel pushed down onto the next step, and I just slid down like an avalanche. I must have passed out, and 6 hours later, I came around and was leaning back on my legs, a bit like when a footballer, soccer player, gets a goal and they skid across the grass on their knees. You guys know what that looks like, right?
I've seen the footballers.
The soccerers, the communists. He said he basically looked like that, and he was stuck there and was unconscious for 6 hours, and when he woke up, he did not have his phone, so he just shouted to his Alexa, and Alexa came through. And he says, quote, "I would have been lying there for hours if it wasn't for Alexa. I don't know how I would have summoned up help. My Alexa saved my life. Though I do have to give some credit to my friend and the surgeons," end quote. So the doctors the doctors are getting just a mini shout-out. They're an afterthought here. But he wouldn't have gotten there, guys, if it wasn't for this Alexa. So pretty damn cool.
It is pretty damn cool. Alexa should obviously run with that and try and get this guy an advertisement and talk about how it can really save your life. But I guess it's a good thing he was nice to the Alexa, too, BK. That's the other thing, right?
That's true.
If you're in that situation, what if she said, nah, I'm gonna it's time for me to be janky.
What if you called me janky the other day.
Yeah. What if your Wi-Fi is down, too, at your house, right? You're trying to reach out to your Alexa, and it's like, connecting to service, or it's going through a software update or something like that. But, man, that's pretty cool. Like, I've used my Alexa for a bunch of different reasons, and usually it's basic stuff like shopping lists and remind me to do this and set a timer. It's great, right? You just tell it to set a timer. It's pretty nice. But that's a nice, I guess, additional feature and maybe something they will advertise.
Do you miss doing stuff? Do you miss flicking a light on? Do you miss going and just setting the timer on your own to know that in 15 minutes you got to pull that out of the oven?
Not really.
Okay, no, I'm just asking.
Do you guys have a timer? Like, not on your phone, like a legit timer?
I mean, I've got a microwave, and I've got one on my oven.
Right.
And I've got, so.
But not like a separate timer.
No.
Right?
Like my parents have like a bunch of them in the house.
Actually, you know what? No, I do. I do.
Oh, for cooking.
Yeah.
It's in storage.
Okay.
But usually it's just your phone. Yeah.
If you don't have an Alexa, you use your smartphone, right? Because they've got that for you. But there you go. All right. How about this one, guys? Another story. Unless, Rod, you got anything you want to mention on the Alexa conversation? Does that encourage you guys to maybe get an Alexa just in case?
No, that's a great story because, I mean, people have, like, old people. You worried about, like, your mom and dad if they're home alone in that situation as they get older. And, yeah, that's what that help alert thing.
Oh, life
right?
alert?
Life alert thing. Yeah.
It basically is a life alert thing. It basically gives you a way to call somebody. You press that button. But Alexa can almost be your life alert is kind of what I'm saying. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, and I think you hit the nail on the head, BK. It's more for my parents and definitely Bob. I was actually going to get him an Alexa anyway. It'd been way too long since he had really been with a woman. And so I decided to go ahead and I was going to get
Bob.
But now I'm thinking about all this. What? And so I'm kidding around.
Oh, man.
I'm sure I'll get a text on that later, though.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I used to have a drop.
Exactly.
I used to have a drop that says, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up."
Yeah, you don't have
that. Oh, I remember that drop.
I don't know where it is. I used to play it for Bucky because that guy's old as dirt, but I can't find it anywhere. All right, one more story, guys, today. Yesterday, we talked about autonomous cars in the BK Lounge and how those appear closer and closer to being ordinary in our society. So that's one mode of futuristic transportation that might not be futuristic for long. Well, now we have another futuristic technology that could be headed our ways. Flying cars. That's right. General Motors, GM, on Tuesday presented a futuristic flying Cadillac, a self-driving vehicle which takes off and lands vertically and carries the passenger above the streets and through the air. A senior GM executive described the concept as, quote, reimagining the future of personal transportation, end quote.
I'll say.
It's a single-passenger Cadillac, and they use vertical takeoff and landing technology. They basically use drone technology that allows this thing to travel from urban rooftop to urban rooftop. I don't know what Urban Meyer has to do with this. At speeds of 88 kilometers per hour.
I can't do it.
Can we get English? Well, yeah. What is kilometers? What is that? In English!
And you can't use this thing in the country?
Yeah, I guess not. But it's fully autonomous and all electric, and apparently this thing could be coming sooner rather than later. So I asked you all about autonomous cars yesterday. Rod, I'll send this your way first. Would you be in on the flying car? And I guess probably the more important follow-up question, because I think everybody at some point would be in on the flying car. But like, how many test runs, how many successful test runs would you need to see before you got in one of these bad boys?
Oh, yeah. It had to become more mainstream before I have confidence in getting in it.
Yep.
I mean, the truth is that the autonomous cars, the technology has come so far. I mean, it's exponentially increased the technology in the last 10 years in terms of artificial intelligence and autonomous vehicles. So I actually would be cool with riding in a driverless car. I would, considering where we are now, like there are good chances on roadways that we drive on, they've experimented with autonomous cars. They just have. And even you talked about it yesterday, BK. So I'd be cool with that. The autonomous air, basically a flying car?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not cool with that just yet. No. Nope.
Yeah, I'm looking at this thing too. God, this thing looks weird.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, look, in terms of cutting time out, so I'm not against it if it actually became mainstream, but you said how many successful runs would I have to see before I did it? It's not just that. I need to see a lot of successful runs. I need to see some unsuccessful runs too with the public.
I don't want to scare you away.
I don't want to,
right?
But I'm telling you, I need to get all that out of their system. So this is a years type process before I would actually say, okay, I'm getting on this thing.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. I mean, before I got my motorcycle license a couple of years ago, like my parents had them, and my dad would like make me watch motorcycle crash videos.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he would watch them all the time and freak my mom and
that's awesome.
My sisters out. It's like, why the hell are you doing this? Like, this is going to be you. Please don't. But it's like, no, I just want to know, like, how to avoid stuff like this. Like, what went wrong for these guys so I can make sure that I'm not in this situation. So maybe that's kind of your logic there. But yeah, this is a weird-looking thing, guys. I mean, it's got a a panoramic glass roof.
Yeah.
Like basically a couch that you'd be sitting on. It's one person.
That's what
it's
it
single
looks like.
Passenger, but it's like super luxurious. I mean, it's a Cadillac, so they made it really nice and spruced up. And in terms of, you know, when is this thing going to happen, all they said was, quote, arriving soon. So they didn't give like a concrete date. I don't know how soon is, but apparently Toyota, Hyundai, and GM have all previously shown concept aerial vehicles as part of their future planning. So maybe within the next 5 years, 10 years, who knows? But in our lifetimes, flying cars could be a possibility, gentlemen.
Yeah, the Wright brothers. I mean, some of these people that
Orville and Redenbacher.
That are way ahead of the time. I obviously admire them a lot, and they help advance a lot of things. I also just wonder how bored they are down here, and they just don't care anymore.
You asked me about doing drugs.
What's the worst that's going to happen? We die?
Yeah, you asked me about doing drugs earlier. Like, there's got to be some drugs involved with some of these ideas that come up, man. It's unreal.
Yeah. It's an arms race, though, right? Because
this is why
Tesla is I might be the richest man in the world right now. They keep going back and forth. Him and Jeff Bezos have been going back and forth on the richest man in the world. But the Tesla's right there. It might be the richest man in the world right now. It's because he won the electric car arms race.
Yes.
Right? He won it. He won it, and now he's got the best patents on it, all the best minds around the world that work on that technology. They want to work for him now. Hell, Apple had a chance to buy Tesla, guys. You know that? They had a chance to buy Tesla like 10 years ago and passed on it, which is ridiculous. That's like when Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix and they passed on it like some idiots. So my point is now Apple is actually, now they're getting together their own electric car company. They're trying to, they're joining some car company. They're going to try to make electric cars because they're trying to catch Tesla. Now, BK, you've been on this for a while. The next arms race is going to be the artificial intelligence automated driverless car arms race. Whoever wins that, they are going to be one of the richest people in the world.
It's well said. Perfect way to end this thing. Yeah, it fascinates me. Artificial intelligence, I mean, we're just scratching the surface, but it's already so incredibly complicated and complex. To me, But I'm glad there's other people working on it out there because it's going to make our lives a whole hell of a lot easier moving forward and kind of scary.
Until the machines come and
kill
us.
Yeah, and kind of scary too. Yep. That's why I'm Team Machine. I'm being nice to the machines. You hear that, Alexa, Google? I keep doing segments about y'all because I care about y'all, all right? So I'm on your side. Remember that.
Yeah, I mean, what would happen if we had to turn our own lights on again?
Oh, dude. I can't even imagine. God, my arm would be sore for weeks.
Down,
both ways?
Up and down, I know.
I'm out, dude. I'm out on that. All right, we've got one segment to go here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We'll tell you what's on tap. Up next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That is really good.
That is good.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Getting ready to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven. Before we get done for the day, though, we got to let you know what's on tap. Hope you've had a great time listening to the show. It has been a blast bringing you the Triple Option today. I do want to thank Mark Henry, who came on for Roger Rand.
Yeah, man.
He was fantastic. WWE Hall of Famer. He's always great. Never enough time to talk sports with my man, Mark Henry. All right, gentlemen, what's on tap for tonight? BK, I'll start with you. I'm sure it's going to be some... You watching some NBA tonight?
Yeah,
baby. Are you watching the NBA yet? You are.
Okay. Oh, man. I've been watching it since the preseason, and there was no preseason this year. That's how long I've been watching the NBA. TNT doubleheader, Rockets-Spurs is the first game.
Oh, yeah.
So right now. The post-James Harden era begins in H-Town. I guess the game is in San Antonio, but y'all know what I mean. Rockets with an early 9-6 lead. So you got that Texas rivalry going on. And then Golden State-Denver is your nightcap, which is a pretty good game as well. So I'll be tuned into the NBA, and it's night two of the NHL season as well, KD. So we'll be getting some hockey going on the four screens for Navy consultations.
Going to be a busy night for you. Hopefully you can still give Alexa, both of them, some attention.
Yes.
Do they get jealous now?
Of each other?
Yeah.
No, they work in unison. It's pretty cool.
Oh, one of those things,
yeah,
huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm all about
We're
that.
We're having all sorts of menage a trois.
Well, different apartment. Rooms,
that
but...
That's the same chick.
How dare you?
Well, there's two.
They have a high... She has a hive mind.
It's like a Siamese together. Situation.
Okay, I got you.
Or it's all like right. The chick with the two heads, you know? Isn't that a thing? That's basically what we're working with the two separate Alexas. Like, it's one chick, but it's two, you know?
Chick with two heads, BK.
It's two for one. You know, it's a great deal. It's part of my religion to look for a good value. Like, I'm getting a great value there.
Well, I'm going to be reading top to bottom, left to right tonight, BK. And
not right to left?
No,
feels
not right to left.
Disrespectful.
That would be, of course, that would be a little Judaism, right?
Hebrew is what you're
Hebrew,
looking for.
That's what I was looking
there
for, exactly.
Thanks, guy.
No, I am going to watch a little San Antonio, Houston, mm-hmm. and then also try and clean some stuff up, guys, because I get to this once college football's over with. I got to clean some stuff up. I got a lot of just random football on my DVR, and I'm sitting at 98% like I always am.
There you go.
And I was going through it, and I've got just too many games, Rod. But you know the way that is. There's like either some concept, there's some scheme, there's some play, there's something that happened on all those games that my mind wouldn't let it just be deleted. So I got to get that out of my system, and I think tonight's a good night to do it.
No, I feel you. Actually, last night, funny you brought that up. Me and my fiance, we had to have a discussion. I deleted all the games from last year. I usually keep all the games on my DVR because I'm like, UKD, I'll just go back and watch a game. I'm like,
yeah, randomly.
That a series of plays still bothers me. Why did they run the swing pass? You know what I mean? I'll go back and watch it and do some deep dive research. So I basically I've found closure on the Tom Herman tenure because I officially deleted all the Texas football games off my DVR. So I'm ready to go. All gas, no breaks.
Yes,
Sark week. Let's do the damn thing.
You getting that tattooed? Like I am?
No,
I'm getting it tatted on my back. Oh, okay.
But I'm no longer studying. No, I'm no longer studying Tom Herman football. Like, I'm done. Why would I study Tom Herman football? It's not going to help me out anymore. Now I'm just studying Sarkisian football. That's it.
That would be a good tattoo on your butt, wouldn't it? All gas, no brakes.
What about an all ass, no brakes?
No, the gas, though. Oh. You still got the gas.
I like BK's right. I like BK's
all ass, no brakes.
It's like a down arrow.
That is awesome.
All ass, all gas, no brakes.
Wow.
BK, that is God. It, bro. That is funny. That is so good.
We got Longhorn Weekly that'll be coming up next. So we're not in flip out mode with this Texas team. As I said, they stole one in Morgantown. They didn't win last night. Now there have been times with Shaka before where BK, it feels like the team's playing really well and you have a slip up like that and you go, oh, they'll be all right. And you look back 2 months later and you go, was that a start or something?
Yeah, I've never really felt like they'll be all right in the past. This year, I feel like they'll be all right.
Fair enough.
And thankfully, they've got a couple of relatively easy games coming up with K-State and Iowa State, two of the worst teams in this conference. So hopefully they take care of business in those two and get back on track.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow with a full show. Don't forget, we have a Longhorn Weekly coming up next. You can hear from Shaka Smart. And then at 8 o'clock, little flex action. Talked to Snoop earlier. They got a two-hour show set up for you. Don't forget FLXATX.com if you want to check it out. And they do a really good job. And we've got two teams in Central Texas that are still playing for state championships, playing for rings and history this weekend. So I'm sure they will get into that. And God knows, this has been such an easy, fun, free week if you're doing sports radio. God knows what story we're going to have tomorrow. And maybe a little bit more of that Texas coaching staff. We had Urban Meyer go to Jacksonville today. So who knows what we're going to have. That'll do it for us. For Brad, for Rod, I'm Kevin. Peace, y'all.